This morning we're going to talk about the body. And for once, I'm not really talking about the church. You'll be surprised. I'm talking about these physical bodies that we have. Your body and my body, you know, we are real beings. I can see you, and I know you are real because I can touch you and you occupy space. Now, I don't know if you read Edison Lee and the funny papers or not, but you know that a little while ago, this little fellow thought he invented a machine to make himself invisible. Now, when he turned it on, only his clothing disappeared. Now, but he still could be seen. No matter whether we wear clothing or not, we can be seen. We are people who have a sense of the physical around us. We touch, we see, we smell, we hear, we taste. We know what's going on around us. Now think about how we take care of these bodies. We comfort them, we pamper them, we beautify them, we feed them, we dress them, we worship with them, we feel emotion with them, we treat them, we exercise or not with them, we work with them, we satisfy them, we abuse them, and sometimes we even sin with them. That's the body that God has given us. Have you ever come to a realization of just how important your body is? How important your body is to God? Now think about it in terms of your faith. How important is your body to the spiritual realm? Well, that's going to be kind of what we're going to talk about. God wants us as his people to understand how important our physical bodies are. He loves us and he created us and he wants us to take reasonable care of these bodies that he has given us. He is interested in how we live our lives. He wants us to take care of our bodies. He wants us to live morally right. He wants us to be spiritually tuned into him with our physical body. God called us to be a different kind of people as his children. And the Bible has kind of an interesting way of looking at our body that's often different from the way we understand it. God is the one who formed these bodies. Scripture says in Genesis 2 that we read from that after he made this body from clay, had no life in it, he breathed his life into it, and he made it a living being. And that living being has a body and a soul and flesh. We are body, soul, and flesh, a complete unit. You know, a famous Baptist preacher once said, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Now, our second lesson this morning from 1 Corinthians 6, and you might want to get that and keep your finger in there for this morning. It says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? That's the NIV, what I always preach from. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, as we look at those verses, there are three truths here, three really, really great truths that Paul gives us that's going to help us learn how to live in these bodies as spiritual beings. The first is, you know, God lives in this physical body. Now, this is for the Christian. God lives in the body of the Christian. He doesn't live in everybody's body. He lives in the Christian's body. Look at verse 19, if you still have your Bible open. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Paul wants us to understand that this body we have is inhabited by God the moment that we become Christians, the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In that moment, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in this human body that we have. Paul was saying here that he was saying this to the Corinthians because, you know, they had some serious issues going on in that church. I mean, they were a mess. There was immorality and there was drunkenness and there was gluttony. In fact, if you look at chapter 9 earlier in the chapter, verse 9 earlier in the chapter from which I read, he actually talks about some of those things that were going on. Now here's just a little excerpt. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, he says. And then he goes on and he lists some of this wickedness that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul was writing to a congregation where all of that stuff was going on. Now, you might read this passage and think, well, how in the world were they Christians? And Paul said, this is what you once were, but now you are in Christ. You see, there were some in the congregation who were fudging on how they were living their lives. You know, the city of Corinth had an incredible reputation. They were known worldwide. You know, to Corinthianize meant that you were actively sinning, especially in respect to prostitutes. You see, the Greek way of thinking involved kind of a compartmentalization, you know, a pigeonholing, that you'd behave one way over here, and that you'd behave another way over here, and one thing had nothing to do with the other thing. They had nothing to do with each other. So in the church, they put church behavior over here in a box. That was their spiritual life. And the spiritual life, they argued, that was the only thing that was important, the only thing that was important to God. And then they lived physically in any way they pleased, and they said to themselves, well, God doesn't care about our bodies. He doesn't care about the physical. He just cares about the spiritual, so we can be as nasty as we want. We would never behave that way in the church today. Well, so then they would abuse their bodies and use their bodies because they argued the spiritual was all that was important, and God didn't care about the physical body. And Paul was saying, excuse me, wait a minute. Don't you guys get it? That your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, the Spirit that God himself gave you. God has created you and I with spiritual and physical bodies. And he created us so special that he wants us to live in special kinds of ways. The moment you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit moves in, begins to teach you and guide you and strengthen you and give you wisdom for living the kind of life that God wants you to live. You know, we cannot pull that off on our own. You need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. God set it up to work that way. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 18, Paul's writing to a congregation, and this is what he had to say. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. We don't hear that word too much, debauchery. We know what it means. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. When Paul tells us to be temples of the Holy Spirit, he's saying, let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let him lead you so that you can live the life that Christ wants you to live. So you see, God is very much alive in the body of the Christian. Our responsibility is to let him take control of that life. Point number one, God lives in our physical body. And that leads me to point number two. And that is, I worship God with this body. So how are you worshiping this morning? You're here physically, in body. You could have stayed in bed. You could have gone fishing. You didn't. You came today. It was important for you to be here physically because God impresses upon us how we worship. You see, with this body is very important. We bow our heads to pray. We sing with our physical voices. We stand after offering to show that we are not just offering God our money. We are offering him our physical bodies as well. And we pray with our mouths and we hear the word with our ears and we understand with our minds. There are even times when we are moved to come forward. Physical bodies are very important to God in worship. Our bodies are worship centers, and that means that everything we do every day is either an act of worship to God or it's an offense to God. There is no third choice. Everything we do every day is either an act of worship to God or it's an offense to God. Our bodies are that important. Now, we do get mixed up. We get mixed up in our worship sometimes, but we're here in body because deep down we know that what our bodies do is very important to God. That's why you don't lay in bed on a Sunday morning and say, I'll just worship God here. Now, you can do that to a certain extent, but Scripture tells us that worship is more than that. It is the physical gathering together with other like-minded people for corporate worship, something that we can't do in bed or in the golf course or by the fishing hole. Now, Paul wrote in Romans 12, 1-2, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You and I are to offer our bodies physically to God as an act of worship. And that happens at all places, at all times, not just on a Sunday. So as you and I live our lives, we have to remember that everything we do begins and ends with worship, because our bodies are a temple of God. And that leads me to the final point that Paul makes, and that is, I am to honor God by the way I use this body. When Paul was addressing the Corinthian church, you know, he was addressing a church full of debauchery of every kind. These Corinthians, they even had blatant sexual sins, that were going on right in the church. In verse 19 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. See, we have to honor God with our bodies. We're vessels of God's presence. We're worship centers of God's presence. And we honor God with how we live out and use these bodies. Paul told the Corinthian church, don't grieve God. Don't bring sorrow to God. Don't grieve the Spirit of God by the way that you live. And you know what my fear is this morning? My fear is this morning that many Christians are grieving the Spirit of God who lives in them by how they live. Now these Corinthians, they had a misunderstanding. And Paul came right back at them and said, how dare you defile this holy temple that has been given to you by God? How dare you do that? And he was trying to say that when you sin, you know that you're just dragging God right into the middle of that sin. You are grieving God. So how is your temple? How are you using your body? Well, I have some questions that we can ask ourselves to kind of figure that out and discern. I've had people over the years ask me, can I do this? Can I do that? Can I get piercings? Can I get tattoos? Well, some things are addressed specifically in Scripture, like tattoos, and you're going to have to look. But can I do this and can I do that? Sometimes Scripture is unclear. Well, there aren't too many times that I hear from God for you. So I'm going to give you some questions that you can ask yourself. Discern God's will for your body. And the first question is this. Is the thing that I want to do with my body beneficial? Now, I didn't ask, do you feel like doing it? Well, of course you feel like doing it, or you wouldn't be asking the question. Is this thing that I want to do with my body beneficial? Is it good for you? Whatever you are doing, or whatever it is that you want to do, is it going to benefit you? Will it have value for your life and value for your relationship with God? That's a good question. And that brings us to the second question. Does what I am thinking about doing have a potential to overpower me and put me in bondage? Paul says, don't be enslaved or mastered by anything. And if you use your body to sin, I'll guarantee that that sin is going to come back to bite you in the bottom. It will ultimately overpower and control and manipulate you, because the devil has a way of making sin look good at the beginning. And then down the road, we realize that something's gone terribly wrong and we've got a mess and we don't even know how to get out of this mess. And this is a time when a lot of people back away from God because, they just don't think God has an answer. God does, and he wants to work, even in the middle of messes. You remember Ted Haggard, pastor of that mega church in Colorado Springs? What an awesome preacher. Oh, my. You ever heard that man preach? His preaching was amazing. He was a great pastor. He had grown this mega church. Oh my. He had a great family, and he got caught in sin. No one in the church knew it. Nobody knew it. His wife had no clue. His children had no clue. But for years, he was having a homosexual relationship on the sly. Oh my. And when it all came out, well, of course, they had to put him out of the church. They had no choice. Now, he's now in recovery, but you try to tell Ted Haggard that he doesn't have consequences to pay down the road. So with the Holy Spirit's help, you see, you and I need to stay away from anything that will enslave this body. I have a wonderful way to tell It was in the first verse of that hymn that we sang before the sermon. I just love that hymn, and I got made fun of this morning for picking it. But anyway, it goes, who shall remain nameless. It says, our cornerstone is Christ alone, and strong in him we stand. Oh, let us live transparently and walk heart to heart and hand in hand. Listen to the words, not my singing. If there is something going on in your life that your church family can't know about, something that you don't want everyone to know, well, guess what it is you shouldn't be doing. Live transparently. The third question is this use of my body going to glorify God? Now, we heard about that, verses 19 and 20. We are to glorify God with this body. And the fourth question is, if I use my body in this way, how will it affect my family and my church family and my friends? You know, there's a lie in the culture that we live in today. It says as long as we don't hurt anybody else, it's okay. Well, that's this crazy thing. Because sin not only hurts you, part of what makes sin sin is that it has a ripple effect. And what is sin is the subject of another sermon, but it touches many people. Fifth question is, if I do this thing with my body, will my Christian witness be better or worse? Now, there's a How will this decision affect my Christian witness? You know, because people are watching us. They want to know if Christianity is real or not. They want to know if Jesus really does make a difference in a life. We need to all be aware of how we live our lives, because you want to know what? How we live our lives, every one of us, is speaking something to someone. It's one thing for us to say we're a Christian. It's a totally other thing to act morally like we are one. Jesus calls us to be moral and holy people. So let me ask you, in what ways are you mistreating this body that God has given you? Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And oh my goodness, do I know my body's weak. I think we can all relate to that. But the Spirit of God wants to help each one of us live the lives that he wants us to live. This body is so important to God because he created it. And it's so important to God because he lives in it. And it's so important to God because how we live in it is our worship of him and the way we glorify his name. But you see, there's a big deal about this. And the big deal is that he loves this body so much that he's going to transform it into a resurrected body. I'm going to be much thinner. That's what happened to Jesus. Born bodily as a baby, lived out his life bodily, the Spirit of God worked in his body, he was nailed to a cross bodily, he was put bodily into the grave, and then he was transformed. And that dead body was raised up, and he was given a resurrected body, so he could be here, and he could be there, and he could be over there, and walls didn't stop him anymore. And as God raised him up, for those whom he lives in, he will raise us up also. Hear the words of 1 Corinthians 15:42. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. You know, after death, these bodies are going to decay. But God will take what it is that makes us who we are, recognizable as who we are, and somehow he is going to remold it into a resurrected body that will be ready to dwell with him forever. I am looking forward to that. Jesus is the one who can reclaim us in these physical bodies, and it is Jesus who will reclaim us after we die. And it is Jesus who will take these bodies and help us live as a temple, worshiping and glorifying his name. So the bottom line for you this morning is, where are you in relationship to all of these questions? And the most important question for you this morning is, where are you in your relationship to Jesus? You know, there are a lot of us here this morning, if we are asked, we love Jesus with our whole hearts. But we have never yielded our bodies over to him. It didn't even occur to us. It's important to God, and this is the day. You need to offer your body to God this morning as a living sacrifice. You can think wonderful thoughts. You need to offer your physical body to God. You have been bought with a price. You didn't come cheap. You belong to God. It is time you start acting like it. All of us here this morning are abusing our bodies in some way, and you know what? We need to get over it. We need to let it go. Let's bow our heads. Father God, help us to so value our bodies that we won't do anything to mar it or hurt it in any way. Lord, help us not to be tricked into bad habits that hurt our bodies. And keep us from all the corrupting influences that are everywhere that would destroy us. Help us to be sturdy and upright in our behavior. And help us to treat our bodies as your temple that it is. Your temple to help you and bring glory to your name. For we ask this in the name of the one who gave his body for us, the one who is now alive, Jesus the Christ.